three women, brutally murdered by the same man. But death isn't their end, it's their beginning. In Noel W. Ely's chilling psychological thriller, Megan, Brescia, and Skye refuse to fade into oblivion after their lives are stolen. Instead, they discover that crossing the threshold between life and death has granted them unexpected abilities. Megan can manipulate electronic devices when emotions run high. Brescia can slip through the smallest openings, air vents, cat doors, the gaps beneath closed doors. Skye can witness her parents' devastating grief but remains powerless to comfort them. What makes their afterlife so compelling isn't just these supernatural powers, but how their humanity intensifies after death. Their emotions burn brighter. Grief manifests as actual darkness surrounding them. Rage causes electrical disturbances across city blocks, and their connection with each other provides profound comfort in their otherwise cold existence. These women aren't trapped spirits. They're on a mission to stop a killer who appears perfectly normal to the outside world. James Carson could be your neighbor, colleague, or the charming man who just matched with you online. His dating profile displays an attractive man with thoughtful responses and calculated vulnerability. Behind this crafted persona lurks a predator who has perfected his technique through multiple identities and countless victims. What makes James truly terrifying is his seamless dual life. To his wife April and daughters Emma and Kimmy, he's a loving father who plays tickle monster and reads bedtime stories. At work, he's a reliable software developer with a steady paycheck. This ordinary facade makes his crimes more disturbing. Monsters don't always announce themselves with fangs and claws. His method is chillingly simple. Create detailed online personas tailored to specific women, engage them in meaningful conversation, then suggest meeting at public venues. He stays sober while encouraging his dates to drink, often slipping Rohypnol into their beverages. Even when suspicions arise, his ability to gaslight those around him, particularly April, who occasionally glimpses something disturbing beneath his surface, keeps him ahead of consequences. Death follows unexpected rules in this world. The three women remain tethered to the physical realm, unable to pass through walls but can travel through cracks and vents, a limitation forcing them to navigate spaces much like in life. They can change their ghostly appearance at will, choosing comfortable clothes rather than death outfits, their attire often reflecting their emotional state. Each woman's afterlife journey reflects her personality. Megan methodically tests her abilities to manipulate technology and leave electronic clues. Brescia dedicates herself to watching over James's family while trying to prevent future murders. Skye divides her time between following the investigation and witnessing her parents' grief. Their most profound discovery is how the boundary between worlds is more permeable than traditional ghost stories suggest. Strong emotional connections can bridge this divide, allowing limited communication across death's threshold. Megan connects with her deceased grandmother, Rosie, who explains that threads connecting loved ones remain intact after death, suggesting we exist within a web of relationships that death transforms but cannot break. Detective Demonska emerges as the champion of the murdered women, unaware of their ghostly presence. When Megan's remains are discovered in the mountains, she faces significant challenges. The body has been exposed to elements for months, leaving minimal forensic evidence. The killer's dating app profile is gone, with no witnesses or surveillance footage to pursue. Yet she persists, reconstructing Megan's digital footprint through phone records, credit card transactions, and social media. The investigation advances when Ken, an Idaho cafe manager, connects Skye's disappearance to Megan's case after noticing similar patterns in both victims' final locations. This collaboration reveals the killer's system, targeting women through dating apps, meeting publicly, and disposing of bodies in remote mountains. Unique tension arises from the contrast between Demonska's methodical police work and the omniscient perspective of the ghostly victims. while she painstakingly processes DNA, interviews witnesses, and analyzes cell data, readers experience the frustration of victims who know the killer's identity but cannot communicate it. Though strangers in life, these three women form a powerful bond in death. Their relationship evolves from wariness to trust to a sisterhood transcending worldly boundaries. Brescia, dead longest, becomes their reluctant guide. Megan brings hope through connections with the deceased, and Skye contributes fierce determination when despair looms. Working together to track James and prevent further killings, they develop complementary tactics. Their combined abilities prove more effective than individual efforts. Brescia slips through small spaces for intelligence, Megan disrupts electronics, and Skye senses emotional undercurrents others might miss. Their most profound connection occurs when they physically touch, directly sharing memories and experiences. These moments provide not just strategic advantages, but emotional healing, allowing each to process her trauma through the compassionate understanding of fellow survivors. This supernatural sisterhood counters the isolation James imposed through his violence, transforming victims into a formidable force for justice. A single act of violence creates expanding circles of trauma, affecting countless lives. April, James's wife, embodies the collateral damage of living with a monster she didn't recognize. When finally confronting the possibility her husband is a killer, her world implodes. Every belief about her marriage, family, and future disintegrates, leaving her questioning her judgment and their shared memories. Skye's parents represent another devastating dimension, alternating between desperate hope and crushing grief as they search for their daughter, posting flyers and maintaining vigils. When they learn the truth, their pain is compounded, knowing she died alone and afraid. Most poignantly, James's young daughters face a future forever altered by their father's actions. Too young to fully understand, they must eventually reconcile the father who read bedtime stories with the monster he truly was. Their innocence becomes another casualty as they navigate childhood marked by prison visits, hushed conversations, and the gradual realization that their family photos tell a story of lies. The most powerful moments occur when the living and dead work in tandem. During April's escape from the cabin, while she flees with her daughters, the three spirits provide crucial assistance, distracting James, creating electrical disturbances, and whispering warnings in April's dreams. The Ask for Andrea Barr protocol exemplifies this intersection between worlds. This system to help women escape dangerous dates becomes a lifeline spanning life and death. When April uses it at the Big Cat Mountain Lodge, it completes a protective circle, allowing women who couldn't save themselves to help save others. Justice requires both legal accountability and personal reckoning. When James is arrested, the women feel complex relief rather than triumph. Their vengeance isn't about making him suffer, but preventing harm and preserving their stories. They transform from victims into powerful witnesses whose testimony ensures the truth about James Carson endures. Remember, our most profound connections often remain invisible. Trust your instincts when something feels wrong. Those we've lost are never truly gone. Their love, memory, and sometimes their watchful presence remains, guiding us through our darkest moments.